Olga and I would like to welcome you to the ninth Capitaling Maritime Leaders Summit, part of the Posidonia Week. We are honored to host this event in partnership with ABS. And without saying too many things, all I'd like to say from my end is we have an amazing agenda today. We expect a huge number of people, tremendous lineup, tremendous insight, great quality, and thank you to all of you for being here, and thank you to the sponsors, to the speakers, and to our partner ABS. And Chris Wernicke is here. I will cede the podium to him so he can kick off the conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicholas. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. What a beautiful day here in Athens. And thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to speak to everyone today. Welcome to Greece. Welcome to the Capital Link event titled Dashing Ahead, Leadership in Action, that really, to be honest with you, officially kind of kicks off our Posidonia Week 2024. You know, we'll be discussing this pretty much, I'm sure, all day today and over the course of the week. But I think, as everybody knows, we are in a decade of, in the early innings of a decade of change and uncertainty. And it's really marked by several things. It's marked by a set of new global shipping shapers, new relationships, quite frankly, not just commercial and government, but quite frankly, physical, the ship and the port. New boundary conditions dealing with the unintended consequences of change, a new calculus that determines what our success will be as we get to net zero by 2050, and a new language of shipping. And like I said today at Capital Link, I am sure all of you will be discussing, debating, and quite frankly, even challenging these topics. I think everyone in this room by now is fluent in the new language of shipping, which is CO2 per ton mile. And that's, of course, driven primarily by the carbon intensity indicator, or CII. But there is a new variant that is about to drive significant disruption through shipping's long-established business models. And we will all be speaking it from January of next year. And this is weld-awake carbon equivalent emissions per megajoule of energy. Let me repeat that. Weld awake carbon equivalent emissions per megajoule of energy. This, in fact, is the calculation at the heart of Fuel EU Maritime, the latest in a series of major emission reduction regulatory packages directed at shipping from the European Union. Only this one has a lot more teeth than EEXI, EEDI, CII, or any other of its predecessors. Employing a ratcheting effect every 5 years, this regulation shrinks the quantity of weld-awake greenhouse gas emissions that can be emitted per megajoule of energy used on board before there is a compliance cost. This creates a new hurdle to clear every 5 years to avoid an emissions bill. But its potential to drive change lies in the way it turbocharges the return on investment in alternative fuel technology. Let me give you a couple examples. For a typical container vessel burning 100 tons of light fuel oil, or LFO, per day, the cost of compliance from January will be around $3,000 a day. That's a compliance bill of around $150,000 on a typical 50-day round trip from Europe to the Far East. But this is just the gentle on-ramp of the legislation. From 2030, costs start to rise significantly until by 2035, this same example, this same vessel, is incurring $20,000 a day or around $1 million on a round trip to Shanghai. By 2050, the daily cost is $100,000, and this is only if the voyage begins or ends in the EU. If it's an entirely intra-EU voyage, quite frankly, you can double it. A ro-ro ferry shuttling between European ports on LFO could well rack up a daily bill approaching $250,000 U.S. dollars next year, rising to well over $9 million for the same scale of operations by 2050. However alarming that may sound, The legislation is designed, in fact, to ensure few are, in fact, ever paying the more inflated sums that build up the path to 2050. It aims instead to drive fundamental disruptive change to reshape the industry around us well before that time and reward, in fact, first movers on emissions reduction technology. Let's take LNG, for example. While it initially performs well under fuel EU, that can actually quickly change depending on the engine type and the resulting methane slip. Some engine types, in fact, rapidly attract greater emissions charges. However, if you switch your fuel to a blend of 30% bio-LNG, and you can potentially sail penalty-free until 2045. That's the regulatory stick. So what about the carrot? Here, they have several options. First, Fuel EU incentivizes wind-assisted propulsion. Depending on the propulsion potential of the technology, you can expect to see no costs from Fuel EU until 2030, and then only at half the rate of an unassisted vessel up to 2035. This is even if you burn the same amount of LFO, but as the wind is now contributing to your propulsion, you could actually be paying much less and crucially generating a modest compliance surplus. The same is also true of drop-in biofuels, where diluting your fuel mix with, let's say, waste cooking oil at the rate of 2 to 10% could see your vessel compliant for years. At the level of 30%, you could be fully compliant until 2040 and generating a very healthy compliance surplus. So you can see promoting the use of onshore power supply in main European ports is in fact also a cornerstone of Fuel EU. And so the carbon intensity of the electrification supplied at birth is rated as zero under the regulation. But one of Fuel EU's biggest incentives, outstripping even the stimulus for green or e-fuels on individual vessels, which see their greenhouse gas emission cut in half until 2034, is fleet pooling, meaning operators of vessels burning green methanol, ammonia, or hydrogen will generate massive compliance surpluses. And it is in the regulator's plan for pooling of these surpluses that the game-changing nature of Fuel EU is most quickly and clearly revealed. Compliance surpluses generated when vessels undershoot the greenhouse gas intensity limit can be linked, in fact, to other vessels with a negative balance, which have therefore built up a compliance deficit. These surpluses can be sold to other operators or used to extend the viability of older portions of the fleet. Our research at ABS indicates the power of pooling will be significant, hugely rewarding pioneers of alternative fuel technologies. Depending on a range of variables, a wind-assisted vessel may generate sufficient surplus to offset a traditionally propelled equivalent vessel. Let me give you another example. An LFO vessel burning 30 tons per day that changes its fuel mix to 22 tons of LNG with a 0.2% methane slip and 8 tons of LFO can generate enough compliance surplus to cover 5 LFO burning equivalent vessels until 2030. An LFO vessel operating with 30% biofuels may be able to generate sufficient surplus to offset 10 vessels, while running 30% green methanol may in fact allow you to offset 15 vessels up to 2030. That is the power of Fuel EU. What is the value now of this new marketplace for compliance? Will we see modern, ultra-low emission vessels effectively running two revenue streams? Alongside whatever charter arrangements, will their compliance surpluses provide, in fact, a valuable secondary source of income? That's clearly the vision behind the regulation, which is, in fact, changing the calculus on alternative energy investment at sea, accelerating the rate of return on emission reduction capital expenditure. Or will we see smaller operators pushed out, unable to raise funds to invest in newer assets, and lacking the scale needed to pool to reduce the escalating bills attached to older tonnage? And this is not only a new reality for those trading in European waters, because the IMO has indicated it intends to introduce its own version globally in 2027. So wherever you are, whatever your ship, however it's fueled, there is a new paradigm at sea. A new lens through which to view everything from trade routes and energy choices to investment decisions per CO2 emissions reduction per megajoule. Finally, as I conclude, amidst all the profound change that will be driven by this simple equation, we must never lose sight of the safety implications triggered by rushing to adopt new technologies and operational strategies. We must ensure safety is the mantra of our industry, and safety remains the ultimate boundary condition in this new multidimensional business of shipping. Let me leave you this morning, as you start the conference, with a simple question. Fuel EU Maritime comes into force in precisely 211 days. Are you ready? Thank you very much.